Reminder, I would have done the pledge.
All right, ready to go. Thanks everybody for being here. I'm going to call this special meeting to order. It's a public hearing on the Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, and it's our first public hearing. I just said that. This is for the 2026 Community Development Block Grant, CDBG grant. It is December 9th at 5:30 p.m. The purpose of this meeting, this public hearing, is to provide citizens with information about the CDBG program and allow for discussion on possible applications for the 2026 funding cycle. We seek citizens' views and suggestions regarding the possible projects utilizing these funds. The amount of CDB funds expected to be available for projects for the new year comes from the CERTA, Southeastern Utah Association of Governments. It's not called that anymore. The amount of money that they have available is $778,284. The type of activities that may be undertaken with CDBG funds include a lot of things and can be summarized as such: construction of public works and facilities, example is water, sewer lines, fire stations, park rehabilitation, or the provisions of public services, among other eligible activities. We would like to identify and discuss the community development needs of the Moab community and welcome views and suggestions regarding possible projects. I ask anybody with questions or comments or suggestions during the hearing to please identify yourself by name before you speak. Recorder will include your name in the minutes, and we will like to specifically respond to your questions suggested during the hearing. I invite anybody to come and speak. And I think we'll start with you, Savannah.
I think we can start with the you folks. That's okay, the free help.
Okay, so you don't, so.
Is there anything else you need to say?
Oh, no, sorry, thank you for that. I have a handout of the full.
Could you come up here?
I hand out the full list of eligible activities, so if anybody wants a copy of this, it's everything that the mayor said, but this is the in detail list, if that's helpful. So I'll leave that here. But no, I think we're
okay.
Ready to start.
All right. So I believe the Moab Free Clinic is here with a couple of project ideas. So if you want to go ahead and come up.
And I'm going to be projecting for them.
Okay, great. So thank you.
Hello, I'm Kate Jagla. I'm the director of the Moab Free Health Clinic, and I'm here with
David Olson.
David Olson.
Project.
Yeah.
Development man.
The last time we presented, you asked at the end what you could do for the Moab Free Health Clinic. Well, here is exactly that. So every day, just as a reminder, hundreds of Grand County residents, City of Moab residents face barriers to addressing essential healthcare services. We serve more than 12% of Grand County's population. We're on track to do 3,400 appointments this year. You can see on this illustration here, our community impact over the last decade. You scroll down a little, you can see from 2015 to what's projected for the end of this year, we've significantly increased our services and are seeing a lot more individuals from the community and also providing them a lot more appointments and services. I'm gonna let David take over in terms of introducing our project.
Okay. One thing I wanted to mention, when I started working for the city in 1990, one of the first things I was given was a binder this thick with CDBG rules and said, apply for a CDBG grant. And so I didn't realize I'd be handing back a binder that thick after the project's over with. So it's kind of interesting. And I've done over 20 of them for the city when I worked for the city, just almost yearly. Block grant. And at first I thought they're really hard, but I started getting used to it. So just want to let you know that I've been involved with that. There's a slide on a floor plan. And we wrote a letter about providers, and providers do a lot of work at the city for free, and they have to stay at hotels and motels and things. And it gets really hard to coordinate those things. Kate wrote down like just the vision clinic could take up to
192 nights of accommodations for one 3-day vision clinic. And at these vision clinics, we're seeing hundreds of patients at them. Next year, we're projected to see 575 appointments alone from our vision program. And that equates to, for just one 3-day vision clinic, anywhere between $28,000 and $38,000 in hotel rooms. So that's just a little bit to show you the perspective of what we're looking at. And that's probably on the low end. I was projecting hotel rooms at $150 to $200 a night. Our primary request is $350,000 to place a 3-unit modular unit on our property in order to house these volunteers. They include physicians, dermatologists, dentists, vision specialists, mental health professionals, medical residents and students, AmeriCorps Vistas. So this investment would provide on-site lodging for years to come and limiting thousands upon thousands of dollars in annual hotel costs while also enabling us to continue offering more services to the community, especially specialty services. Accessible lodging is really the limiting factor in terms of our growth. For example, University of Utah has expressed that they want to bring medical residents down here to have extended stays, which also connects into workforce development, also bringing these people in to see what it's like in rural healthcare and eventually hopefully getting them to stay here and practice, and maybe we'll get some more specialists in the long run.
We are requesting modular units because of Davis-Bacon wages and federal rules and stuff, but that would make it a slick project a lot easier when you're bringing in 3-unit triplex and dropping it on a foundation. So the foundation and some of the other costs that are connected to it, those are Davis-Bacon, but the unit itself would be without all those rules. It would be slick.
Any questions for Kate or David? Okay, thank you. And do you have anything else you want to add?
The second part was the parking lot.
I didn't know you had more.
$60,000. Now, this is an if you could have, I don't know, we are in competition with four other counties or three other counties besides ourselves. And sometimes if people are not applying, we could do two projects. And one is to overlay the parking lot.
Okay. Thank you. Savannah and Patrick.
Stand up here. One moment here. I'm going to get my screen shared for the presentation. Okay. That did it. Okay. Okay. Thanks for your patience there. Yeah. So I'm Patrick Trim. I'm the Parks, Rec, and Trails Director. I'm joined by Barry Ellison, City's Building Official. In our proposed project would fall under that parks rehabilitation track, as the mayor outlined in her introduction through the CDBG. And that is the Suwannee Park accessibility improvements. So the purpose of this project is to support essential accessibility at Suwannee. Since we constructed the playground, usage has only gone up at Suwannee Park. We sort of view that as our flagship park internally, and I think that's sort of the public and citywide, it's viewed that way as well. We've got some other upgrades that along with the playground that we view as necessary to sort of one to provide ADA accessibility, but also comfortability and convenience for all visitors. So the funding would support a restroom remodel, restroom access via a continuation of that sidewalk connectivity effort that began with the playground. In addition to lighting, bike parking, and some other improvements there. I touched a little bit on Suwannee Park being sort of one of our most utilized facilities. And again, with the building of the playground, that's only increased. We are not currently in compliance. We would like to provide access to just increase that enjoyability, provide some modernization to the facility. And, you know, another consideration is looking at extending lifetime at MRAC facilities. And what that means is currently what we're seeing with some of the restrooms in disrepair and our crews doing their best to keep those relevant, is that people are using the MRAC restrooms and water fountains and things. And then that increases, you know, that kind of taxes the infrastructure there. And so that would alleviate some of that. So some of the specifics on the restroom upgrades, looking at ADA compliant stalls, fixtures, doors, clearances, and then just, providing for a more welcoming environment as those facilities age. You know, our users are not excited to use those type of facilities. It's not accessible for them. Mentioned some of these other components that we would be looking at, with ADA, you know, potential water fountains, bottle filling, and then some of bike parking, repairs to existing sidewalk structures, and then ADA access. So Suwannee Park, we've got the pavilion, we've got the skate park. These are sort of operating as islands right now, for as far as ADA accessibility. We have tied the park into the egress parking on the west end, but we would like to continue that effort in connecting the pavilion, restrooms, bike park, and other features of that park, as well as some possible perimeter access from the on the south end pavilions as well for the parking. So lots of considerations there. Barry was going to touch a little bit on some of the budgeting numbers that we put together initially, and then, you know, maybe answer any more technical ADA questions. So Barry,
sure. Sounds good.
Thank you.
So we're asking for $200,000 to $250,000. This will cover repairs and upgrades to the restrooms. Some of the plumbing fixtures are missing. Some of them that were replaced, but they're not ADA compliant. Pavement, like Patrick mentioned, would be to conduct an accessible route from the different locations. You can get from the handicap parking to the playground, but now you can't get to the bathrooms or the bike park. So we're going to conduct some sidewalks that way so people can get around. Some of the pavilions on the south end that people rent out, they're not accessible. And same with the water fountain. You have a water fountain on site, but if you're in a walker, you can't get to it. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at. The biggest expense will probably be the concrete to fix the areas, the access at the pavilions, plus the sidewalks internal.
Any questions on any of that?
Colin?
A couple of questions. One, these are a couple of amazing projects. You know, this is very much needed at Suwannee Park, and I imagine the next year or the following year, the demand of the free health clinic is going to grow exponentially with things happening nationally. My questions are, you know, do we have experience when they're looking at these projects? Are they looking at, you know, them geographically? Have multiple awards come to the same community? You know, it looks like with these projects, we're tying up most of the, you know, $700,000+ that's available in these grants. What do we have experience with that?
We do, but I think tonight what we're actually talking about are the projects themselves, the process. And I think Savannah can kind of update us on where we go from here.
Okay, that makes sense. So then my next question is just, you know, we've had multiple discussions about a skate park and other amenities at Suwannee. And what we've been told is that, you know, what's really needed, and I agree with this, is a comprehensive plan for that park, for, you know, directing the future development of the park. How does that play into this if we're looking at, you know, putting money into redesigning bathrooms and concrete sidewalks to different places?
I think the discussion we've had around, especially the restrooms, which is the key component of this, is that, you know, with the plumbing being where it is, you know, any sort of plan or comprehensive study of the park would likely leave the bathrooms where they're at. And so I think that was a key component, is the restrooms. And then most of what we're looking at wouldn't necessarily change the potential future projects over there. It would be pretty minimal infrastructure. It would be primarily improvements to existing infrastructure. But, you know, as we look at paths and different potential walkways, we would consider any sort of future growth of that park, part of that process. Yeah.
So, Colin, we did, I don't know if you were on the council when we approved, I think you were, when we approved the park's master plan. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the council at that time wanted to emphasize was ADA accessibility.
Absolutely.
As kind of our priority, you know, to, you know, where there's funding available. That was something that I believe we all agreed needed to come first.
Absolutely. Okay.
If I might, with just regards to the bathroom, we have the bathroom, but if you're handicapped, you can't get to it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this is just trying to solve, is that problem.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So from my understanding is like CDBG grants are like, I think like a certain percentage, like the majority percentage of funds need to be used towards services or things that target like low to moderate income like populations. Is that correct?
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's what they're set up for, is to address facilities and structures that do affect moderate to low income households. ADA improvements are automatic qualifiers.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering like how you would be able to kind of like project what percentage of people benefiting from these things.
And I think what it is the community has to qualify under certain criteria to, in order to even qualify to apply. And so I think that's, you know, we fit into that definition. So I think that's how you calculate the underserved. It's based on our qualification, not how many people are going to be served by the project.
It's not project-based, yes. It's community.
Yes.
There is a project aspect, but yeah, we do qualify. That's why we're told we can apply.
Right. So.
Any other questions? The only question I have is the pet bowl when dogs aren't allowed in the park. It comes with the fountain, so
it's actually for little kids.
Yeah. Or if we wanted to get down and we could,
you're talking about things like crawling.
Totally hygienic.
Yeah, it's the low cost splash pad that we're all looking.
That's right. Yeah.
But there are people that go to the park and with their dogs, and their dogs aren't. I mean, this summer I saw a lot of people with their dogs, and rather than having them play in the park, they play in the street. So they still get thirsty.
And they're service animals.
Yeah, they're service animals. We won't deny any dog a drink of water. Any of the parks.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anybody else in the audience with the project they'd like to put forward? Okay. Savannah, do you just want to kind of let us know where we go from here? Because this is the first public hearing. I believe then it goes to CERTA. I'm not quite sure exactly how the process.
Yeah. So from here, we'll be looking to make a decision on how many and which proposal we put forward. Once we do that, we'll get it together. It requires a bunch of different estimates so that we can show what the cost is of everything. There's a whole, you're familiar with it, I'm sure, too. There's a whole set of documentation that's required. If we're accepted into that first round of grants, then we'll host a second public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you. to have another conversation like this about a specific project. This one was just, as the mayor said, to get your thoughts, ideas, any questions from the public, to put everything out there. Then we'll move towards a decision-making process on how we want to proceed, and we'll work through the CDBG requirements. And that's me for the city side writing that.
And my understanding is they sort of like starts looking at this like in March.
Yes. Yes.
This is going to move quickly.
I think first application is due end of January. So
yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So that's why we're having to do it now. Yes.
Okay.
Very good. Any other questions?
Anything else for Savannah? All righty. Thanks.
Thank you.
So do I close the public hearing now? All right. I will close the public hearing at 5:51 p.m. And now we have to wait 10 minutes. Arthur should be here. Oh, okay. So I'll adjourn this special meeting. Thanks. At 5:52 p.m.
Just saying.